Do you remember playing the game Whisper Down the Lane? Sometimes it was called telephone. The idea that the person in the front of the line would whisper something to the other and it would keep going, and you'd see if what started at the beginning is what came out at the end. Somehow, Mrs. Smith's class had six boys, ends up being elephants wear clashing pants. It never came out the way it started in the beginning. From this, we get the concept of hearsay, information that's received from a source that we're not completely sure that we can substantiate it as we've heard it. John's gospel tells us that the disciples received Mary and the women's news in this way. The way they've seen Jesus was hearsay. The others wanted to substantiate it and know it for themselves. John's gospel tells us that that's how Thomas received the news from the other 10. When they had seen Jesus, I don't know if you can see it, Doubting Thomas was not one to fall for wild fishing tales. We're not told why Thomas wasn't present exactly. Maybe he was getting his oil changed or taking the kids to the doctor. Maybe he wasn't sure of what had transpired, and he needed a little space to reflect on it by himself. Maybe he decided since Jesus died, he was done with this phase of his life and was going to try something different. For whatever reason, he was not present with the others when Jesus appeared and calmed their fears, kindled a swell of heart within the ten. When Jesus appears then, a week later, to Thomas, did you catch it? As Vernon read, he doesn't mimic or mock Thomas. He shows him kindly and graciously his hands and his sides. He knows that Thomas needs to experience him as resurrected, with wounds still intact. Jesus offers Thomas what he needs, without condemnation or disregard. With grace, he gives him what he needs so that his life can be fully changed and go forward. The tradition is that from that place, Thomas goes to the subcontinent of India and changes the whole of the area by sharing his experience of walking with Jesus. There are still those in India today who call themselves St. Thomas Christians out of reverence to the one who first shared the word in that place. The influence of Thomas extended far even to Villanova, good to be mentioning on this weekend as well. Followers of the way is what these Christians and Christians in the area were called before they became called Christians. When the disciples who had known Jesus and the apostles who knew people who knew Jesus began teaching, they were following the way Jesus had taught them to live. So in the first generation, it was easy to say, Peter walked with Jesus. He knows how to follow the way Jesus taught. Andrew and James walked with Jesus. They know how to teach the way Jesus had taught. And for some, it was enough to just meet a disciple who had known Jesus, a Jesus they'd never met themselves. But others needed more. They too wanted to meet that Jesus that Peter and Andrew and James and Thaddeus had described. They too wanted to put their hands in the hands of the one who lived and died and rose again as the Son of God. You can imagine as time went on, it became harder to find someone who knew someone who knew someone who'd walked with Jesus. It became more hearsay of the stories of walking with Jesus. This is when the first of the New Testament begins to be written. The letters of Paul, remember, Paul hadn't walked with Jesus, but had experienced him on the road to Damascus, so he got a first-rate experience Jesus sticker as well. The Paul's letters to Thessalonica and to Corinth, and then the gospel according to Mark, so that others would have the hearsay, the testimony of those who knew Jesus and could follow in his way. Those in the second century and the third century, those in the 21st century as well. We too need to know and hear the stories of Jesus so that we know the changing power of God. Did you catch the last couple of verses 30 and 31? The reason we teach and tell the stories is so others might believe and know Jesus. The word believe is not a noun, a static thing you do once and you're done with. Believe is a verb. And in fact, if it was better translated, it would say coming to believe, something you do in relationship with Jesus. This is not the same as you and I having to cross our fingers and put them behind our backs when we say the creeds because we believe, not sure how it all works out. This is not the same believe where we untangle all the mysteries of the Bible. How does this conflict with this over here? This kind of believe is experiencing a relationship with Jesus that is more than a debate topic with a neighbor or with a friend. In the mainline church, we've often eschewed this kind of believing in Jesus. We've eschewed the term born again as something that describes other people somewhere else. People who've had experiences that aren't exactly the same as ours, but born again or experiencing Jesus for ourselves comes from Jesus himself. From the third chapter of John, when Nicodemus and Jesus encounter one another, Nicodemus, who has heard hearsay of this Jesus, and wants to go and find out a little bit more about what he's all about. Now, he'd like to be educated, not to be changed. He's interested, but he doesn't want to move from his comfortable position in life. And Jesus tells him and tells us today, your life changes completely if you're going to be a follower of the way. It's like being born again, starting fresh, being completely shaped by how Jesus has us to be. All of the assumptions you've had from the culture about Jesus and belief and life and love are reshaped in the form as a follower of the way. Now today, for us, we ask the same question. Is it the Jesus from the stories that we know about by hearsay? Or have we met and experienced him ourselves? Now, I have to tell you, there's no set time frame in which you and I put on our calendar to experience Jesus. It's not always that it happens when we're itty-bitties, and it's not always that it happens when we've grown up into our maturer days. It can happen to youngest ones and to older ones and anywhere in between. I think of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement. He was the kind of guy who was always in the church. You see, he was a pastor's kid. Do you remember his story? He was a PK and knew from the first days he was going to be a preacher when he grew up. He went to school to be a preacher, ordained by the age of 25, changing the world with a whole new way of understanding religion. But we have in his journals, because he never had a thought he didn't write down, we have in his journals, he lamented he'd not experienced the presence of Jesus. He preached and he taught. He changed the social system in England and wanted to know Jesus. So it was May 24th when he was 35 years old. That felt really old to him. It was a lot of years of wanting to know Jesus. He was 35 on Aldersgate Street with the Moravians when he first felt his heart strangely warmed. The first place he experienced Jesus. His life had already been aimed towards learning about this Jesus. And yet, he hadn't experienced him until that very moment. His life was transformed from there forward. So I wonder, have you experienced Jesus? Not only from hearsay from the lives of the disciples, or hearsay from the life of John Wesley or preachers that you've heard? Have you, your own self, experienced Jesus? Put your hands in the hands of the one who lived and died and rose for you. As you come to the communion table this morning, I want to ask you to pause. Pause and invite Jesus to be present for you. It was in the story of Thomas we lean on this promise. When Thomas said, "Lord, the one thing I need is to put my hands in yours." And Jesus was gracious in answering his request. As you come to the table this morning, ask for Jesus to be present to you. For the other promise that we know is ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. This was the gospel, the good news for Thomas. This is the gospel, the good news for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Amen.